You're listening to a podcast from 702.
All right, well, it is Monday, and as usual, we're talking parenting and parents in this half hour. It is quite, I think, an important one we're talking about today. It's something we don't always think about. And recently, I have to tell you, I heard the horrible story of a relative son whose ear was completely bitten off by his own pet dog, his own dog that he'd raised from the time it was a pup. And this relative son was now 25, but I can't remember if it was a pit bull or a boer bull, but it was one of those types of dogs. I do know that he had this dog from the time it was very, very little. It slept in his bed. It was attached to him. And I believe he was just putting a blanket over this dog when it actually attacked him, taking off his entire ear just a couple of months ago. And I asked myself, how does that happen? How does that happen with a pet that you've bonded with for so many, many years? So it is National Child Safety Month. And on Parenting and Parents Today, we're talking about dog bites and how to protect your child from dog bites as well. Our guest is Executive Director for Child Safe SA, Zaytoon Rabbani. Zaytoon, a very good afternoon. And I'm so glad we are talking about this because I remember, and I do still have a fear of dogs, even as a grown-up, even those little ankle biters, those little ones that look like rats. But, you know, they strike a little bit of fear in you, make you break out into a sweat because you wonder, when is that thing going to nip me? No matter how long you've been around this dog. So thanks so much for actually highlighting this one. And let's talk about this. How common are dog bites and how common are attacks on children by dogs these days?
Right. First and foremost, thank you for this opportunity for Child Safe to celebrate National Child Safety Month with a focus on dog biting. And yes, it is, I think what we are finding here at the Red Cross Children's, remember we are an injury prevention unit based at the Red Cross War Memorial Children's Hospital as an NGO. So we collect data on trauma incidences coming through the trauma unit, and we do interventions in education based on that. And for the past year or two, what we have found is been a bit of an increase in dog bites as well. So currently the stats we're looking at least 10 incidences of dog bites serious enough to end up at the Red Cross trauma unit in Langebosch.
And what are the injuries that you're seeing? What are the wounds that you're seeing, if you can describe for us? How serious are they?
Well, out of the admissions that we have, there's at least more than 20% of children that get admitted into the hospital. And why they end up here at the trauma unit, and it's because of the serious nature of it. So it depends on the severity of it, whether it is facial bites. We had a situation where one of the children, there was flesh bitten out from the leg of the child. So it just depends on, you know, what played out in that particular moment. Mm. And it's very, very unpredictable.
Yeah. Zaytoon, are these, if you're able to tell us, these cases that you've had to deal with, how many of them were actually their own pets? Or how many of them were sort of neighbors, or they'd been visiting somewhere or walking on the street and a dog got out of their own?
Yeah, to give you some indication of the statistics, what we have on the statistics for the past year was that 48%, about 48% of these incidences happen in and around the home, right? And then 53% happens whether it is in someone else's home or on someone else's property. And a very smaller percentage, it's about 5% that happens along the road on pavements and 2% in public spaces. Mm. So that tells us that, you know what, the education that needs to happen and awareness that needs to be created amongst parents, amongst the pet owners, within and around our own homes, and how we treat and how we deal with our dogs and pets at home.
Are there any particular breeds of dog involved in these, I'm going to call them attacks. Yeah, in these attacks.
Right. Okay. I need to declare that I'm a social scientist.
Yes.
I've had experiences in working with one of the animal welfare organizations, and I'm now here at Child Safe. So it's a bit difficult, but in my experience that we've had, In the previous employment situation, what we have found there, the particular breed in terms of aggressiveness and dog bites, is definitely the pit bull type. And we need to put also it out there that not all of these animals, not all of these pit bulls. So with respect also to our pet owners of pit bulls, we don't want now, this is not any knocking anybody session. This is this is the reality of what we are dealing with. These are the situations that we need to be aware of, and this is the education we need to, that we need to impart with the listeners in being responsible. So, but within the what we find here at the Red Cross Hospital Trauma Unit, it could be any breed. It is not restricted to the pit bull breed here specifically. Obviously, we are, because it is the National Child Safety Month with a focus on dog bites for us, we're looking at further interventions, and we are looking at having a colloquial conversation with various role players, and the Cape of Good Hope SPCA will also be in the room with an enabled behavioral specialist, as well as the social work department and the child abuse unit here at Red Cross. So we all go, and law enforcement as well, because we want to sit and we want to talk more. Because what we get here, Iveka, is those individuals who brought their children and the victims to the hospital.
Yeah.
But what about those who do not report it?
Yeah.
What about those who take their children to private doctors? We do not have that statistics.
Yeah.
But our statistics shows there's a bit of an increase on it. So the problem could be bigger.
Yeah.
Than what we really think it is.
And also, I mean, if these are absolute animal lovers, you know, the thing is, often these animals have to be put down after an attack like this. And that's, I'm not a dog owner myself, but I would imagine that that is something that is very heartbreaking and not something they want to consider. But let's talk about protecting our children then, Zaytun. I mean, we have pets, we have these dogs around our house. And like you say, you never know when something is going to happen. You don't know what it is. Does a dog sense fear in a child? Are they overplaying? Are they overexciting this dog? Are they slapping it around a little bit? You know, what is happening? So what are the rules we need to have in place in our home with our very own pets and our children?
Yeah, because you know what, at the outset, I would like to say that, you know, animals are sentient beings, meaning that they feel like us as humans. You know, they feel fear, they feel stress, they experience pain. They can't talk and say this is happening. But I think for us as the humans and the pet owners and the carers, we need to be aware that animals, dogs, are sentient beings.
Yeah.
And in past experiences also, what we've learned when we had to deal with dog bites, injuries, or dog fights or dog attacks, it's, you know, the story that comes up afterwards. But the neighbors have said that this child has always thrown stones at this dog.
Yeah.
Or this one would always pull the dog's tail. You know, so we need to understand that animals also feel what is happening. But to protect our families, you need to be cautious around your own dog, treat your own dog with respect, be cautious around strange dogs as well. And you know what? Then don't leave baby or small children alone with dogs.
Yeah.
And I think what is also important is teach our children not to go and approach a strange dog or a dog that they think that's a happy, calm dog.
Fluffy, cuddly. We often think those are harmless, right? Yeah.
There we go. And what we must also remember, the child is at the size, maybe most of the times, at the height of the dog. And this animal don't necessarily see that, oh, it's a child that just wants to give me a bit of love and all of that. They react differently. The dog needs to process in its own mind, is this a threat to me?
Yeah.
Is this harm coming my way?
Yeah.
Or what is it?
Yeah.
So we approach the animal from our perspective, but the dog frames it in its own mind in many different ways. So what we need to do, when you see that dog, ears moving forward towards you, dog growling, dog snarling, dog's hair standing up, stand still, break the eye contact, move backwards slowly and keep your hands along your sides so that you break the threat.
Okay.
That the dog must also realize and process, this individual is not here to harm me. It's not a threat. Mm-hmm. I don't need to go in protecting mode and try and protect my own turf or protect my own self. Mm-hmm. I think that's also important.
Yeah.
But you know, Iveka, what do we do for our dogs as owners as well.
Yes.
It's also very important. Our dogs need exercise. What also happens, we take our animals, they are living indoors or in our backyards or in our garden areas,
yeah.
but the dogs don't get the stimulation of being yes. able to run out and get rid of those
stress relief, like we need stress relief, and we're talking about the dogs need
very,
that as well.
Very important.
Yeah.
Very important. And I think another factor is also vaccinations of these dogs are very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the big threat of you know, rabies
yeah.
and other preventable infectious diseases, we need to be aware that dogs are the main source of human rabies deaths. That's 99% of rabies are transmitted to humans.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And if a dog is not vaccinated against rabies, the saliva of that dog was infected that comes into direct contact with human mucosa or a fresh skin wound.
Yeah.
That also impacts.
Wow.
You know?
And
so, simple thing.
Does training, Zaytoun, does that make a difference? If you train your dog, and obviously it's not something everyone can afford, right? Or everyone has access to training. But would it make a difference if you've brought a dog into the household? Or, sometimes I know of couples who have to introduce their dog to their new baby. That's quite a thing. It's quite a ceremony, you know, when you've brought, especially when the dog's been the baby for so long, and you've brought a new human into the fold. You know, training the dog with that particular child, does that make all the difference? Is that something that most people must consider actually doing, even if it's just a few sessions?
I would strongly say yes, that would definitely help, because you also learn then through a professional taking through the emotions of how to handle the dog and how to deal with the dog, how to respond to the dog, and the dog also learns how to respond to you. And very importantly, don't shout at your dog.
Yeah.
They don't. They interpret shouting and high-pitched noises in a very different way to what we want them to do, you know? So training, I would say, is important.
Okay.
You know,
And in terms of, you've had these kids, everybody's like, okay, we need a puppy now, mom and dad, you know, we need a dog. In terms of what kind of dog suits your family, I would think that that's very important in terms of keeping your children safe. And you know your kids, you know their personalities, you know how rough they play. I would imagine that choosing the right dog for you and your family and your children is very, very important as well, the right type of dog.
No, that's very important as well. So when you are looking in terms of choosing a puppy, and don't just do it because it's Christmas time and we want to have a fluffy animal and then the animal gets abandoned and discarded, you know, or the animal don't get neutered or spayed, because that also lessens aggression and roaming within the animal. It is important to seek advice from whichever clinic or shelter that you are looking at. But do engage with them and do have, if they have an animal behavior specialist on board, go out and match animal to the dog. Go and meet with the dogs, you know, and see what the interaction is like. It is important. It's senseless if you have a small little area and you want to go and get now one of these Doberman or the Alsatian German Shepherd types in a small little area. So it is important to match that dog to the family, and what family must be realistic as to what they can offer that animal as well.
Yes.
Because you become part of the family.
Yeah, and you must be prepared that it's going to be part of the family. It's not just going to be outside guarding your gate. And this in essence, is a member of your family. So if you have an experience that you want to share with us, send us your voice note, 072-702-1702, or WhatsApp us if you're not able to speak at the moment, or give us a call, 011-883-0702. We have a voice note that's come through about dog fights and kids. Let's take a listen.
Good afternoon, Yuveka. Yuveka, if you could please ask your guest, is there anything that she can advise with regard to children in the area where I live that are having dog fights? And these are not adults, Yuveka. It's children as young as 12, 10 that are making dog fights with one another. And I'm worried that one day a child will get bitten with these dogs, and it's these pit bulls. So maybe your guest can advise us what to do in that kind of a situation. Sebastian, El Dorado Park.
Oh, Sebastian, thanks for that one. And Zaytoun, yeah, I mean, that's another thing that's becoming so common. And that's a worry where he says children are putting dogs into dog fights. And I mean, whose pets are these? You're taking them home after you've got them worked up as well. There's so many dangers here.
What I can suggest to that particular individual is maybe go to the telephone directory or look for the nearest Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, the SPCA, and Google it on the website and get in touch with the inspectorate division of that particular SPCA, because they do go out and investigate these matters, and especially if there is someone that is prepared to even to call in and say this is what is happening. So get the nearest SPCA in this area involved and report the matter to the inspectorate, and they would go out and do the investigation.
Yeah, so absolutely, those must be reported immediately. If they're not going to attack those children, they're going to attack someone at some point, because they're now learning to fight and they're learning to be aggressive, even if they weren't aggressive dogs in the first place. So what's the conversation, Zaytoon, we need to be having with our kids? Like we say, we've chosen a pup, everybody wanted one, it's coming into our home. What are the conversations we need to have with our children about how to treat this dog? I mean, one, you want to love and cuddle and nurture this little thing, but you also, you need to, the dog needs to know who's boss, am I right? And I mean that in the nicest way possible, not in a bullying kind of way, but the dog needs to know who's who in the household.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So first and foremost, the family needs to have that conversation around, you know, how prepared are they and who's taking responsibility for this dog? Because it's not just about having the dog there. It's about the caring. It's about the feeding. It's about the cleaning. It's about taking care of the health needs of the animal as well. Because if the animal is not being taken care of in terms of its vaccinations at particular point in time, there are other issues that you as a family are exposed to in terms of possible zoonotic diseases, and also, for example, an animal, have the conversation no matter how uncomfortable, and many people don't like it, for an animal to either be neutered or spayed. Because approximately more than 90% of the fatal dog attacks involve are dogs, and they are not spayed or neutered. So these are the conversations we need to have within families. And not to say, no, but if we neutral spay the dog's going to be less aggressive. You, if it's a family dog, you want the dog to be part of the family and not for the aggression of the dog. So that does bring it a notch or two down if the dog is spayed or neutered. But the love, the care, and treat it with respect, because that animal feels.
And also how to play with your dog. How to play with that with that dog, because you might think you're having this wonderful time and you're wrestling with your dog and you're, you know, tossing it in the air, whatever it is that some kids do. But, you know, it's so important to know to play properly with your pet.
Absolutely. And that's why we would also advise as child safety, you know, never leave a baby or a small child alone with a dog.
Okay. You know? Especially a newborn that's come in, if your dog has been your baby for all this time.
Yeah, and teach the toddlers to be careful around pets. You know, do not pull the dog's tail because it's going to make you laugh.
Yeah.
That dog is going to experience it in a different way.
Yes.
And that dog is all going to want to protect itself from harm.
And also, I mean, you know, you're going to get those little nips that happen when you're playing. You're going to get the dog like you say, you're pulling the tail, or you have a two-year-old who's doing that and you get a little bite. At what point do you think, okay, this is not just because they're playing now, that this dog is an actual biter, that this could lead to something bigger? Is there any way to gauge that the temperament of this particular pet obviously is going to be a problem?
Well, that is a difficult one to answer, because I'm also not an animal behavioral.
Or do you say this dog's got to go after it's bitten like one person in the house already?
No, I would say that it depends on the circumstances. And it also depends on, you know, what play does and severity of the injury. Because if we just have further conversation, more conversations about how we treat the dog and how to deal with be less aggressive play and all of that, we can mitigate these injuries and with oversight. But my personal view not necessarily if there's a nip happening and it's the first bite. But obviously, I would also say there's always seek advice also then from your nearest vet, you know, or the local animal clinic or body in your area, and have a conversation instead of just going to dump the dog somewhere on the road or taking the dog for euthanasia, there's a conversation to be had.
Okay, and, just if the dog has bitten my child, this has just happened, how do I deal with that situation? Am I taking the dog, locking it in the bathroom? What am I doing? I've got to separate them, obviously, and it's a bad bite. What do I do at that point?
If the dog owner is present, you need to know if this dog has been vaccinated against rabies. Get the owner's detail if you can. If you don't have that detail, you can have time to clean the bite wound with soap and water as soon as possible.
Mm.
Consult your doctor immediately or go to the nearest emergency room.
All right.
Where you can get the medical information and help.
And immediate care. Yeah.
And immediate care becomes important because, and it's very important once again, the vaccination of the dog, and especially if you cannot prove that the dog has been vaccinated against rabies, it's got further serious implications. Some of the symptoms that we are aware of is sort of like, there could be fever with pain, there's unusual tingling, there's burning sensation at the site of the wound. Muscles can also become paralyzed.
Yes.
So the vaccination against rabies is a very, very important one. And when your child plays with a dog, and even you as a family, please ensure proper personal hygiene and wash the hands before and after animal handling to prevent the possible spread of zoonotic diseases.
Okay.
So it's a simple thing.
It is important. When we forget. All right, Zaytoun, we've got time for a quick call from Candace in Waterfall. Candace, good afternoon. You have some thoughts on dog training.
Yes, hi. Thank you very much. You've brought up a topic that's close to my heart.
Mm.
I just wanted to say that, I've witnessed, I'm a German Shepherd owner, but I have witnessed, people in a community which is quite wealthy not having the adequate training in terms of the type of dog that suits their family, exactly as you said.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding the breed before they decide to get something just because it's cute.
Yes.
And cuddly, as you put it. So it's not something that's limited to, let's say, communities that are less wealthy. And obviously it starts with the parents. If the parents are not educated enough about what dog ownership is about in terms of their family, the breed, and the kids, I've seen it go really wrong. And for the most part, it's actually the animal that suffers.
All right.
Thank you for bringing the topic up. But my suggestion is, the government needs to encourage licenses on dog ownership. Because not all parents make good parents.
Yeah.
You can have a baby. It's the same thing with an animal as well.
Not everyone is meant to own a dog. It's got to be a good fit. All right. Candace, thanks so much. All right, Zaytoun. I think we'll have to leave that there. And just a quick note from somebody saying, those children are disgusting to be making dogs fight. Those children should be jailed. I'm so angry to hear what these children are doing. Animal abuse is disgusting. But we get the message. It is all about just making the right choices and having the right conversations with your children, preventing dog bites in children. Thanks so much for educating us, Zaytoun Rabbani from Child Safe South Africa.